Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
As the promo promised during the week, as I promised on Friday and Saturday mornings talking in our morning shows, this is going to be a spooky show in time for Halloween, and the music probably could give it away. All of the music will be Halloween themed this afternoon on WTIC. And of course, I hope that everybody has a fun and a safe Halloween weekend. I'll be celebrating tonight at a friend's. They invited me over for a Halloween party, and they told me to be in costume. But when it's 80 degrees and it's going to be warm at night, I'm not feeling so much the Halloween costume spirit. Not much of a costume person anymore anyway, so maybe a little face mask or something. But I really do hope that everybody has a fun, enjoyable, and most importantly, safe Halloween weekend. And our conversation today is with one heck of a guy. His name is Joe Franke, and he does a bunch of things. For one, he is the founder and lead investigator at the Connecticut Paranormal Society. He's also on the board of the Warren Legacy Foundation for Paranormal Research, and he's been doing this in Connecticut and elsewhere. It's not just something that he does in Connecticut. He has traveled elsewhere across the country, honestly, and I don't know if he's gone further than the country. I know he's been in the country. I'll ask him that, but Joe Franke, a great guy, and he has been on the Connecticut ghost scene, like I said, since the 1980s. That's what it all got started for him. And I want to get into the conversation, and I want people to know this is not going to be a terrifying show. So I think that we're all going to have an enjoyable conversation. Good afternoon, Joe Franke. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Thank you, Morgan. I'm doing very well, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Have your experiences taken you out of country? I know you focus a lot on Connecticut because you're from here, you live here, and that you've gone elsewhere in America, but have you gone abroad ever?
I have not, as of yet. However, I do have plans to do that in the near future.
Ooh.
To be quite honest with you, I don't have a passport.
Well, you need one of those.
I've been putting that off and putting that off, but you know, unfortunately, I have not worked on cases. Well, I should say, I haven't been out of the country physically, but a lot of the cases I work on outside of the country are done virtually, you know, through StreamYard or Zoom or some kind of media platform.
Well, that's incredible. You don't have to be there in person.
No, not unless I'm really needed. But the foundation has many talented people around the world, and we're still growing. We're a global organization.
Joe, I need to know how all of this got started for you, because this is not something that the average Joe, no pun intended, gets involved in. So how did this get started for you, Joe Franke?
Well, wow. I'm going to take you back on a story, and I haven't told you this yet, but when I was three and a half to be exact, I had what I like to describe as a divine experience, and
okay.
I'll elaborate if you permit me.
Please.
I was named for my maternal grandfather. His name was Joseph Martin Quinn. I am Joseph Martin Franke. And my grandfather, you know, he loved me. I loved him. I remember him vaguely because, again, I was 3 and a half when he passed away. Well, my grandfather used to pick me up. And he used to go to church just about every morning before work. He worked for the railroad in New Haven. And I remember I was very close to him. I remember vividly the tomato sticks that he used to beat me in the behind with when I deserved it, which is probably most of the time.
Okay.
And so to make a long story short, one night, it was a Monday. I think it was a Monday night. My parents were out in the living room watching Monday Night Football. And I... You know, we were in bed. It was my brother and I. My sister was in her crib at the time. And I came out, and I said, and my eyes were closed. So my parents, you know, they told me the story. I was sleepwalking. And I must have had, I had a dream. And I said, "What, Mommy? You know, someone called Joe, you know." And my parents kind of looked at each other and said, "Oh, he's just having a dream, sleepwalking." So she put me back to bed. A couple minutes later, same thing. I come out and say, "What, Mommy? Someone called Joe." Someone said, "Joseph." And, you know, my mother puts me back to bed the second time, and the phone rings, and it's my grandmother. She said, "I can't wake up your father." Now, my grandfather, what he would do before bed every night is he would sit in his easy chair and read passages from the Bible. He was a very, very religious man. And what had happened was my grandfather had fallen asleep and passed away in his sleep with the Bible on his lap. And what I equate the hearing my name called was my connection with my grandfather being his namesake and all. I believe that I heard the Lord calling him because I remember this male, very gentle voice saying, "Joseph, come with me." And I saw this light. And I can remember it like it was 5 minutes ago, but that's all I remember. I hear my name, what I thought was my name being called. And so, you know, when I tell the story to my audiences, I said, I felt like that was a divine experience. So I was so close to my maternal grandfather that I heard him being called to the other side, and which was a shame. As the saying goes, only the good die young.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm safe for a while. all kidding aside, my grandfather was only, I believe, 69 years old.
Pretty young.
And, yeah, lost him. And this was November of 1971. I was 3 and a half years old. But I do have some memories of him driving me around in his Chevy Impala that he had won at a local church carnival. And I was in the front seats. This is before they had child seats.
Right. Yeah, this is dangerous. Yeah. Don't do this, everybody. That's how they did it back in the day, but not a good idea.
Yeah, and I remember trying to see over the dashboard, and I couldn't because I was just a little kid, little boy.
Well, this is how it got started for you. You're three and a half. You're really young, but you've got some recollection of it.
Well, right. So fast forward about 15 years, and the way that my journey into the paranormal world started was my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. We've been married for almost 32 years now, been together 37 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you very much. God love her, because she's my rock. And she saw in the local paper that the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren, were going to be lecturing in North Haven at the Holiday Inn, which is now, I believe, the Best Western off exit 12. And we live up in Wallingford, so she said, Would you like to go and see the Warrens? I'm like, absolutely. I've heard a lot about them. And
you were aware who they were.
I knew exactly. Yeah, I knew who they were. They lived in Monroe, Connecticut. I had heard him on the radio before and you know, newspaper articles and such. So we go there, and we're in line. I remember walking up to the table where Lorraine was seated, and she was, you know, taking the money for the tickets and all that. And she looked at me kind of like, you know, I know this person. You know that look that you have on your face where you're like, oh, I know this person, but I can't recall the name.
Right.
But she looked at me. I remember she cocked her head to one side, and she looks at me, and she says, honey, have we met before? And I said, no, Lorraine. I said, I've heard a lot about you folks. I've seen you on television and, you know, print media. We didn't have internet back then. This was 1986. I was 18 years old. And she's like, she's looking at me funny. And I didn't know then, but what she was doing was she was reading my aura. You know, it's that kind of supernatural glow that surrounds all of us. And she could see and read, tell about people and their personalities by this aura. And she said, honey, there's a reason why you're here tonight. Can you please make sure you see Ed and I after the show? I'd like to talk to you. So I'm like, oh, absolutely. Here I am, you know, like I said, 18 years old. I'm really excited. I can barely sit in my seat and keep a thought in my head, you know, as we watch the presentation. I don't even remember much about the presentation because I was so fixated on what they wanted to talk to me about.
Right. You're not paying attention.
No. So after the show, we go across the street. There's a diner across the street. And, Lorraine's sitting across from me holding my hands. And my wife is sitting next to me, just Laurel, my girlfriend at the time, and Ed. And she's reading my aura. She goes, honey, you know, I can tell by your aura that you were meant to do this work. She said, would you like to come and work with Ed and I and become one of our students?
I do want to pause you here, Joe. For people who are joining us, and maybe they're younger, or maybe they're new to Connecticut or new to the area here, who were the Warrens? What did they do that they were recruiting you for?
Well, Ed and Lorraine Warren, I believe, are the pioneers in the paranormal world. They founded the New England Society for Psychic Research back in 1952, which still exists today. It's run by their son-in-law now. They lived in Monroe, Connecticut. Ed grew up in Bridgeport, and I believe she grew up in Milford because I know she went to Lawton Hall. And, you know, they met and I believe they married early, like 18, 19 years old. Ed was still in the Navy. And, you know, they were artists in their younger years. And but Ed's fascination with the paranormal began as a child because he grew up in a haunted house in Bridgeport. And his father was a police officer and, you know, was very rational about things and said, well, son, there's a reason for everything. There's a reason why everything happens. And Ed said he would at night, he would see his closet door open up and this woman that looked like a witch would come out, like float towards him out of the closet and then disappear and scare the life out of him. But, you know, he was more intrigued by that as he got older and he would tell his father and his father said, well, there's a reason for everything, you know, and he lived in that house for many years. And as, you know, coupled with Lorraine's gift on how, you know, seeing auras, and she went to Lawton Hall and they had nuns there. And I guess the nuns would get upset with her because she would tell them that she sees this glow around, surrounding their bodies. And she would tell them things that she would just know.
Well, if you're 18 years old and you're aware of who they are and what they do, and a little bit about their story, and then you attended one of their shows with your girlfriend at the time. When they say to you that you're intended to do this work and basically try to get you on board with what they do, what's going through your mind, Joe?
I was in shock, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember her when her asking me and immediately said, absolutely. I said, yes, I would love to. And they took us as a pair. So Laurel and I used to go to classes. They would hold classes in Newtown, which a little place called Hawley Manor, which I believe is the inn at Newtown today. And it was a restaurant. I believe it was also an inn. But in the back room, they had like a coat closet. It was maybe a little bit bigger than a coat closet. They had a back room there, and there was about six of us, I believe, if memory serves me correct. And this is where I learned of their most iconic cases, like the Amityville case. It wasn't the Amityville Horror at that point, you know, it was the Amityville case. Well, maybe it was at that point, but when they got called into it, it was just another paranormal, issue. And Ed would bring in his notes and his audio tapes and videotapes, and I remember he'd roll in a TV with a VCR, if you remember what one of those is.
Oh, of course.
And they would show us tapes and show us newspaper articles, and he would play audio clips from that case, from the cases that the Conjuring movies are based on. Because those cases go back, back to the early 70s, early and late 70s. And he'd say, okay, this is what happened in this case. This is what we did. This is who we brought in, clergy or what have you. And this is how I started to learn more about ghosts. And, I believed in ghosts and things like that, but I had no knowledge of this.
And you're learning. You're 18 years old and you're learning. Joe, I need you to hang on the line. We're going to get into more details about your paranormal research and even talk about some cases you've done in Connecticut all on the way.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
This is Brian from Simsbury, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with my friend Morgan Cunningham.
Joe Frankie is our guest this week, talking about his paranormal investigations that have taken him across Connecticut and the country too, but not abroad, at least not yet. He's got to get his passport first, and then he'll be able to go wherever his heart desires. Joe, we were talking about the Warrens, the famous Warrens, so well known in Connecticut because they were from here, but they were known across the country for all of their paranormal research and investigations. And they trained you and they taught you everything that they knew and got you up to speed. And they believed that you had it in you from the get-go. But it's important to note, I think, that you didn't see them as the world-famous Warrens. You obviously knew that they were, but they were more family to you.
Right. So I didn't view them as world, and they were world-renowned. Their name, they've known all over the world, and they've traveled all over the world. But to me, they were like gramps and grandma and gramps. I mean, like grandparents. And ironically, I'm about the same age now that they were when I met them. So it's really come full circle for me.
Joe, I want to say that you are such a respectable guy, and I've seen pictures of you, and you kind of look tough, and you've described yourself to be in the past as someone that used to lift a lot of weights, and you were big, and you were muscular, and you were tough, but you're like a big teddy bear, and you're so respectable to everybody from my interactions that I've had with you, and I've read a lot about you online. I've seen some of your work online as well. Why? Why so much respect? Because some people would probably think that you're just nuts.
Well, there probably are people that think that, but they're entitled to that opinion. I thank you for the kind words, Morgan. I mean, I was raised right. There's three things I tell people. I tell people in my foundation, not my foundation, this is our foundation, but I say, be kind, be gentle, and be humble. Unfortunately, in the paranormal world, there are a lot of egos out there, especially today. Everyone's jockeying for position and this, that, and everything. I have no interest in that. All I want to do is two things. I want to help people that may or may not have a paranormal affliction, and I want to educate. I want to help educate, the general public, or it might be up-and-coming investigators, if their heart's in the right place. I want to pass on my knowledge that was poured into me by Ed and Lorraine onto the next generation. I'm not going to be around forever, just like, unfortunately, they've passed on. And there are times that I like to pick up the phone and call my mentors and say, hey, I got a question. I don't know everything, and I will never know everything. And even after almost 40 years, I'm still learning.
What you do, how does it compare to television and what people see in movies and on the big screen?
Well, what I do is real. I mean, these are real experiences that actually happen.
And we're going to get into those in the bottom of the hour, too, I just want to say.
Okay. Television Hollywood do a very good job entertaining people and scaring people. And that's, God bless them. That's what their intention is. But a lot of these TV shows are not factually based. They're sensationalized. To get that scare factor. And some of them are very well done. I actually watch some of them and enjoy them. But they don't truly depict what an actual investigation or helping someone is about. You don't necessarily need to run over there with a van load of equipment. I help people over the phone, people have never even met.
You just talk to them. That's right. I was so fascinated to learn that you can do this over Zoom. You can do it over telephone.
Yeah. Yeah, and during the couple of years that COVID was rampant, that's what I did. You know, we didn't have that face-to-face contact. You know, I could tell you the story about my neighbors here in the town of Wallingford. Where,
let's save that for the bottom of the hour.
Okay, we'll save that. Okay,
remind me. We are coming up on the break here in another minute, so I don't want to start that. But yes, there is a story involving your neighbor's house. And yet you never even met these people at all. You never had to leave your home, even though it's your neighbor, essentially. Real quick, Joe, how can people find you online, and what's your social media?
Well, I mean, I have you can find me on the WarrenLegacy.com. I am part of the Warren Legacy Foundation. I'm the chairman of the board and the chief investigative officer. Or you can find me on Facebook. Just look up Joe Frank on Facebook. I think it's joe.frankie.988 is my signature. You can also find me on Instagram, although I'm not on there a lot. If you need to reach out to me, if you have an issue, it's jfrankie@warrenlegacy.com. Again, you can reach me personally or through the Warren Legacy Foundation.
I do want to say that Frankie is spelled Franke. No IE, no EE. Frankie with just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Just 1E. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC News Talk 1080 in the Halloween spirit with Connecticut's own paranormal researcher and investigator, Joe Frankie. There's more fun stories, fun if you can use that word, on the way, his actual experiences on WTIC. Find me online at MC News Talk.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
It's my understanding that my mother is driving around right now and listening to me. And if that's the case, this goes out to you, Mom.
They did the Monster Mash.
She used to play this for me ad nauseum when I was a child, all the time, around this time of year. Love this song, and hello to you, Mom. Joe, do you like the songs that I'm picking for today's show?
I love them. I love it.
Appropriate,
especially,
huh?
Tubular Bells is my signature song.
Yeah, we went into the break with Tubular Bells, a.k.a. theme to The Exorcist, and I think it's fun to note that that was not actually intended to be the theme to that 1973 movie. Did you know that?
I don't think I knew that.
No, he wanted something that was very instrumental and just kind of background. You know, it's very sparingly used in the movie, in fact. And he couldn't find anything. He had hired some composers, and according to him, William Friedkin, the director, they were all wrong in approach. And he went to Warner Brothers, where a bunch of records would come in, people that want their music in a movie. And he sampled records, I think, for 2 or 3 days, and finally he came across that one, and he picked it for the movie.
Wow, good choice.
Yeah, very good choice. Good choice. Iconic. Well, I wanted to get into the meat and potatoes here with you, Joe. You have a few cases that you wanted to tell everybody about. Joe Franke, our guest on Spotlight Connecticut today, Connecticut-based paranormal researcher.
Yes, so one thing that happened, this started back in May or June. My daughter Emily had seen something on Facebook where a person, a neighbor, literally a half a mile around the corner from me, had posted something, and she said she was very reluctant to post this for fear of ridicule. And she said that they lived in their house for 3 years, and they started to have some kind of activity they just couldn't understand. Lights flickering, and her little boy, who was a year or so old, would be following something, like seeing something in his room, and it'd scare him to the point where he would start screaming. The dog would see it and go hide under the bed and this, that, and the other thing. So she posts something on there, and she starts telling about some of the experiences. And immediately there was about 48 comments, because I was reading through them all. And people were like, oh, you need to call a priest, or oh, you need an things like that. And my daughter chimes in, and she says, no, you need to call my dad. So my daughter calls.
She's a good salesperson for you, although you don't do this for money.
No, we don't. I don't charge a penny for what I do to help people. So anyway, I said, Emily called me, and I said, give this woman my phone number, my personal phone number. And within a half an hour, I believe, she called me. And I had a conversation on the phone. I said, well, what's going on? You know, tell me what's going on. And she said, you know, just tell me about this activity and the lights flickering. And I said, well, let's look for a natural explanation. Let's not take the nuclear option and go to supernatural.
And are you familiar with this house, Joe? Do you know it?
I am. The house was built 30 years ago. And for 27 of those 30 years, my friend lived in the house. He was the fire chief in Wallingford.
And you never heard of any kind of strange activity at this house up until this point?
None at all. And I even called my friend, who's retired now in Florida, and he was intrigued. And I asked him, I said, did you ever have an experience like this when you lived there? He says, no. The house was brand new, built in 92 or 93. They lived there until 3 or 4 years ago when this nice young couple bought it. So I'm talking to her. She's telling me about what's going on. I said, well, have your electrical system checked out. Have these light fixtures checked out just to make sure there's not a problem, a short, something's not properly grounded, something. So she did that, and they found nothing. So I said, okay, let's start from where we are and work our way backwards, because you've been there 3 years, but it just started only, maybe a year ago. What's significant, what happened or significant event or whatever in your life may have been the origin of this activity? So, well, she said she had lost her grandmother, who she was very close to. Okay. I said, do you have any personal effects of your grandmother that is very near and dear to you? She goes, as a matter of fact, I do. I have her bedroom set. And, so I said, okay, well, maybe it's your grandmother. And this is just a theory, but it's theory based on years of experience. I said, maybe it's your grandmother coming to visit you and the child, the baby, who she never got to see in life. And he is seeing her, and it's scaring him. So I said, this is what I want you to do. Now, I back up a second. I did set up an appointment to come and meet her and her husband.
And why didn't that work out?
Well, unfortunately, about a couple hours before, I guess her husband got called into work. And she said, well, Joe, you could still come over. I said, no, if your husband's not there, I'm not going to come over. I said, we can reschedule. I said, but I can help you over the phone. I said, this is what I want you to do. I said, I just want you to walk around the house in a normal voice, just as you're talking to me now, and just acknowledge her presence. I said, we're going to go on the thought that this is your grandmother. And I said, I just wanted to talk to her and say, Grandma, you know, thank you for watching over us and visiting, but you're scaring us. You're scaring the child. You know, please, you can move on. And she said, well, Joe, my grandmother was of Polish descent and you know, spoke fluent Polish and broken English. She goes, should I tell her in Polish or in English? She said, it doesn't matter. She'll understand you. I said, just do it in whatever way you're comfortable, however you talk to your grandma when you were alive. So she did that, and I hadn't heard from her in a week or two, and I sent her a note. And, you know, basically, long story short, she said everything was fine. She said the activity had stopped, and, you know, she had a camera in her child's room. She said one night he did wake up screaming. Again, could have just been a dream, bad dream. And she went in there. She did what I asked her to do, spoke to her grandmother. She said by the time she got back downstairs and looked at the baby monitor, her son was sound asleep. So, wow. You know, I my point is I never even had to go to the home. Okay? It's not like I load up the truck with all my equipment and set up a whole bank of computers and cameras. You don't need to do that. I know that's what you see on television. You know, but that, you don't need to do that. Sometimes you don't need to do much of anything. People call me up and say, I need your help. I need you to come over and remove this entity from my home. I said, no, that's not what I do. What I'll do is come over, and if you do have a presence, you're going to remove it. I'm just going to help you.
How much of this, Joe, is in somebody's own mind?
In many cases, all of it or a lot of it. Psychosomatic, I like to say, because one of the first questions I ask during an interview process is how many of these TV shows do you watch? How many of these movies do you watch where your head is just filled with all these ideas? And then people start to try to investigate their own home, which we're totally against. I said, don't go out and buy this so-called ghost hunting equipment, okay, and then try to investigate your own home. That's not good. Okay, when you get into forms of divination and things like that, that's not good, you know, at all. It could cause more problems, a lot more problems. So a lot of it is in their minds. Sometimes it could be a psychological issue.
What do you do for those people?
Well, what we do in the foundation is we have our protocols. I said, one of the main things is that the prospective client has a full physical and psychological workup. And then we have paperwork for them to sign to share that information with us. And sometimes their doctors will even speak with us, you know. But a lot of times people won't do it. And I'm like, well, you're coming to us for help, but then you're not doing what we're asking you to do. So I don't know how much help I can be. Even if you don't have a quote-unquote paranormal affliction, I said, we do try to steer people in the right direction. You know, to seek help or even connect them with some professional help. We have a lot of professionals from all walks of life in the Warren Legacy Foundation, you know, that are all here voluntarily. Nobody is paid for the work they do in the foundation.
I'm Morgan Cunningham at Spotlight Connecticut with Joe Franke of the Connecticut Paranormal Research Society and also the Warren Legacy Foundation. Yes, those Warrens. He'll be back with a physical story next.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Aaron in Stamford, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Woo!
Joe, this is a totally different format for you, isn't it? You're used to doing public shows. You go across Connecticut and elsewhere talking about your cases, your experiences, your work with the Connecticut Paranormal Research Society and the Warren Legacy Foundation. But here we are. We're on the radio. There's commercial breaks and hard outs and news and all of this stuff. So we're bouncing around and the hour's flying by. It sure is.
It is. It always does.
I don't know how you do this during the regular show because there's so much to pack in and you've got to do it in under 2 hours, right?
Right. I always ask the venues for at least 2 hours because a lot of the venues say, you know, you have an hour. I'm like, an hour? I can spend an hour just introducing myself.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, in our waning minutes here, there's not much left. There's a case that gets everybody's attention when you go and do your public speaking engagements, and you've got some coming up, and I want to make sure we get to that before the end of the show. But there's one case that involved physical issues.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Joe.
Actually, there's many cases, but the one that sticks out in my mind, I was probably 22, 23 years old, and it was a couple of years before Ed said I was ready to go out on my own or with other investigators. So I'm on this case, and the family was terrified. There was all kinds of activity. They would see black shadows. They would hear growling noises.
Where was this?
Noises. This was in Bristol.
Okay.
This particular case. Now, this family was so frightened that everything they owned, their clothing, their bedding, their personal effects, were all in the living room. Okay, because the living room was right near the front door. It was actually a condo in Bristol. So I remember during a lecture one evening I attended with the Warrens, because I went to just about every one of them. Ed calls me aside when Lorraine was speaking. He goes, "Here's an address. I need you to get there as soon as possible." This lecture we were in Meriden at the time. So I went out there and knock on the door. The family opens the door, and I said, "Hi, I'm Joe Franke. Ed Warren sent me." They grabbed me, pulled me in, and collectively hugged me. The family was so terrified. I remember this. And I look around the room, and everything was in the living room. And I said, "Tell me what's going on." So long story short, they tell me what's going on. They said the epicenter seems to be the back bedroom at the end of the hall. So I make a beeline for there. And I walk in there, and there's nothing in there, maybe a couple of Legos on the floor, which I had to watch out for. All those hurt. So I shut the door, and I'm in the back bedroom by myself. And I'm walking around, and I'm using what I call religious provocation that Ed taught me. And all of a sudden, I was pushed or pulled or both and thrown about 10 feet. I was 360 pounds, 6'3", and I was thrown like I was a rag doll, thrown up against the wall. A 2-liter bottle of Coke comes flying around the corner, clips the front of my nose, gives me a nosebleed. Could have smashed me upside the head, but it didn't. And, it was like all hell broke loose. And, the family was terrified. They witnessed this. And
they were in hiding, weren't they?
The family was all out in the living room huddled together. So there is some truth to the safety in numbers thing. It likes to isolate. These kind of negative forces like to isolate. And I was by myself. And I was isolated. And it went after me. I'm just a human being. I'm just a mortal man. I'm not Superman, But, people ask me, "Well, geez, weren't you scared?" I said, "Well, yeah, I was 22, 23 years old."
Yeah, invincible? Were you feeling invincible?
Well, I maybe was. Maybe I was feeling my oats a little bit, but I was scared. At the time, I was scared. I'm human. It's a natural human emotion. But I was more angry than anything else. I got up. And I remember I was calling it every name in the book, words I won't repeat on your show.
Please don't. But we don't need to use the delay.
My whole point here is you cannot fight something that's intangible. You can't see it. You can't feel it. It's something that never walked the earth in human form.
Don't people say to you, "Joe, wasn't it cool? I want that to happen to me."
I did. I had one of our directors that's in the Midwest. Told me a couple of years ago he has a podcast, and he's like, "Geez," he goes, "I'd like to experience that, just to experience it." I said, "No, you wouldn't." I said, "Are you crazy?" So after I finished telling him the rest of the story, he goes, "You know what, Joe, I changed my mind. I wouldn't let that happen." I said, "No, anybody that says they would like to experience that has to be, a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic." I said, "No, and I hope I never have another case like that in my life. I'm not looking forward to it." The cases I deal with mostly are beautiful things where loved ones have come to make their presence known, like the story I told a few minutes ago. Those are beautiful stories. Yes, they are unnerving because people aren't expecting it. That's why Lorraine used to tell me, she goes, "Honey," she says, "your past loved ones will normally visit you in a dream because they don't want to freak you out. You want to get up at 3 a.m. and head into the bathroom and say, 'Oh, Grandma, what are you doing in my hallway? You've been dead for 15 years.
Huh.
Although that does happen in rare occasions.
Well, Joe, you get into detail about these cases and more during your live shows, and I know that because of our limited time and and other factors, we couldn't get into too many details. But your shows are totally unfiltered and unscripted for the most part, and you go around Connecticut libraries for the most part, telling your stories, talking about your work with the Connecticut Paranormal Research Society and the Warren Legacy Foundation. Yes, those Warrens. Right. Joe, how can people find out where you're going to be? Where are you going to be? How do these shows work? Give us the skinny.
Well, I my next show, if anyone's interested, is next Wednesday evening, 6 to 8 at the Middlefield Library. So if anyone would like to come see me, just contact the library just so they have a registration process and they make sure I have enough seats. I do post them on my Facebook page, usually. Again, you can reach me at Joe Franke on Facebook or jfranke@warrenlegacy.com. I'd be happy to answer any emails. I am winding down my season. I do have a couple of other lectures coming up on Saturday the 4th. I will be at the Fairhaven Library in New Haven. I think it's on Grand Avenue. And then I have Beacon Falls on December 5th. And I'm hopefully to be setting up some more, but I do a lot of libraries. I do private functions. I've got a big one coming up at the train station in North Conway, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Yeah. I did it last year. They loved it, and they wanted me to come back. So my wife and I are going back up there for
And this is something that you do year-round. This isn't just October. This isn't just for Halloween.
Right. I do my lecturing year-round. However, you know, this is the time of year where it's most prevalent because everybody wants a good ghost story. But the ghost stories that I tell you are absolutely true. Either they were iconic cases from the Warrens, cases I worked on with them, for them, or cases I've worked on with the Connecticut Paranormal Research Society. So everything I'm going to tell you is 100% truth. It's not Hollywood. It's not TV. And people want complete anonymity. You don't, you know, the cases on TV, I mean, you know, why would you want to put that out there and you know, expose your family?
And I should also mention, just for people who are joining us, Joe Franke, your last name is spelled a little differently. Spell it for everybody.
It's Frank with an E at the end, F-R-A-N-K-E.
Very easy to explain. I just want people to make sure that if they're going to email you, if they're going to go on your website, that they know how to hunt you down. Joe, is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up here?
No, I just want to thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope you have me back. We can do a part two. We can make it a series.
I think that we have 40, plenty of material.
I got 40 years of stories I can tell you, folks. But please come out and see me. Enjoy it. The library programs are absolutely free. Just let the library know you're coming so they can count you.
All right, Joe, thanks for coming on Spotlight Connecticut. Happy Halloween to you, my friend.
And you, be safe, everyone. God bless.
Yes, that's key. Be safe this Halloween. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC News Talk 1080. Find me on social media at MC News Talk. If you have a show idea, you can send it to me there or email me, morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com. AUDACY. Goodbye and happy Halloween.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.